Good morning, everybody. It's really good to take this opportunity to speak with you. I know it's been a while and you've really enjoyed, well, I've really enjoyed listening to Dr. Kay Fountain preaching over recent weeks. And just wanted to say a huge thank you to her for doing that. And also just a huge thank you to everyone who's been involved in our work during our COVID response. It's been really awesome to see not only our people volunteering and helping, but to see the cooperation from other churches, other organisations, just in helping us really look after our whānau and our friends. And something that's really been a delight to me to be involved with. It's quite exciting for me. It's been a while since I've preached to you. And hopefully what you hear today will bless you, will encourage you, and really just make a difference in our lives and help us be more like Christ. So today my message is called The Real Difference Between Sheep and Goats. I'm going to preach to you today just around love, a bit of thoughts on hypocrisy, and just what really is the difference between being a sheep and or being a goat. So let's begin perhaps with a short prayer. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to explore your word and hear a bit more from your heart and understand a bit more about you and ourselves as outlined in the Word of God. You know, I love the music of Keith Green. I love the intense, heavy-handed piano. I love the wordy lyrics. I love that it's so kind of early 1980s. I love that it's Jesus people-ish. I love its passion. My aunt originally introduced me to Green, often during my visits to my nana's house after school. In my opinion, there's no better example of a Green song than one called The Sheep and the Goats. In this song, Green sings through Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. In the passage, Jesus describes the final judgment of the world as a shepherd separating the righteous sheep from the unrighteous goats. The way the shepherd distinguishes between the two groups is by examining the sacrificial love they have shown towards the least of these, my brothers. Those are in verses 40 and 45. Green stays remarkably close to the text. However, in the song's last line, Green gives this final commentary on the passage. And my friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to the scripture, is what they did and didn't do. Those words rocked my childhood world because they highlighted my own hypocrisy. At this point in my young life, I was a professing Christian, but I was actually far from Jesus. I claimed to love Jesus, but I was not loving like him. As a result, the song made me feel the unnervingly heavy weight of my own loveless hypocrisy. There's nothing uglier than hypocrisy, is there? Especially Christian hypocrisy. There's nothing quite as disheartening, dishonest, and disorienting as a professing Christian who does not love others. So what is this supreme fitness of love? Why does Christian hypocrisy bother us so much? Why do the loveless sins of professing Christians cause such a sense of disorientation, dissonance, and if we're not careful, disillusionment? Most important, why does the shepherd hate loveless hypocrisy? It seems clear that from Matthew 25 that sacrificial love is supremely fitting for the Christian. It is the basis on which the good shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. However, we do not merely infer this fittingness from passages like Matthew. We see it explicitly articulated throughout the New Testament. In John 13, Jesus declares, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," as we read in John 13:35. Jesus could not be clearer. The way we love others, especially the least of these my brothers, matters. It matters because it makes us distinct. It matters because this kind of love is how the shepherd distinguishes his sheep from the goats. It matters because entrance into the Father's kingdom is at stake. In Matthew 25:34. All this raises another question. In what sense is it at stake? If we cannot earn our salvation, then why does Jesus say all this in Matthew 25? In other words, what's the real difference between the sheep and the goats? Well, I think it's something to do with real sheep having real wool. Although I love Green's music generally, and I love the sheep and the goats in particular, I think the song's last line is misleading. The only difference between righteous sheep and unrighteous goats is not what they did or did not do. The difference is not merely in outward characteristics. Sheep and goats have different DNA. The difference is cellular. They're different species. Yes, there are external differences between sheep and goats. Yes, we're able to distinguish between the two based on these external differences. That's why it says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. So it's clearly something we can see, but we must be careful not to confuse symptoms with causes. We must be careful not to confuse fruit with root. We must be careful not to confuse wool with DNA. The New Testament is consistently clear. The way we love others has eternal significance. Make no mistake, the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous based on the presence of real love for others. However, the sacrificial love is not the cause of a righteous new nature. It is the inevitable fruit of receiving a new nature. Sacrificial love is the real wool that distinguishes the sheep from the goats. Having real wool does not make you a sheep, but being a sheep causes you to have real wool. Thus, when Christ separates the sheep and goats, he's separating them based on the presence of inevitable outcomes. Yes, we can recognize true conversion by the presence of sacrificial love, but we must never believe that our sacrificial love causes true conversion. Sacrificial love is to new birth as real wool is to being a sheep. So what is the inevitable fruit of imperishable seed? Well, Peter expresses this reality when he commands believers to love one another earnestly from a pure heart, because they have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. That's in 1 Peter 1:22-23. The command to love others is real, but it is never meant to be obeyed in our own strength. Peter makes it abundantly clear. Sacrificial love is the inevitable fruit of an imperishable seed. Instead of the stench of sin's death, sacrificial love is the aroma of the resurrected new creation. Instead of the slop-stained rags of the rebel son, sacrificial love is the beautifully fitting robe of the reinstated prodigal. Instead of the superficial niceties of the unrighteous goats, sacrificial love is the real and lasting wool of real sheep. One of the things that I have been amazed to see in the last 6 or 7 years involved with leading this church has been how we've seen a transformation happen in people's lives in our congregation. And what I mean by that is I have seen people who have begun to change, and it's not just a change to the surface and what they do, but a lasting change to what's happening in their hearts. And then what we are seeing is the evidence of that through acts of sacrificial love. You know, one of the first things I noticed when some of our homeless whānau were joining the church was that over time, some of their behaviours would change. Some of their motivations would appear to change. But what I've seen as the years have gone by is it hasn't always been from the same source. I've watched as some have struggled to maintain the outward appearance that seems to be acceptable, and really struggled with that, and struggled and felt that they were either doing it very well or doing it completely terribly. And then I have noticed others who didn't seem to be making the same kind of efforts to keep up the outward appearance. And I've watched them, as they progressed, their heart has changed, and then naturally some of these new ways of behaving have expressed themselves. As people have begun to volunteer and help out around the place, people who've received assistance themselves suddenly moving to act and serve others, people whose focus has been on themselves moving towards focusing on other people. To me, those are examples of a transforming that is taking place in a person's life. It's not just the act of service to others that is showing that they are a new person, and they have benefited from their encounter with Christ. But what I see are those where this has become almost a normal expression of who they are. You begin to sense it. You begin to recognize it. It's the wool that's growing around them rather than the horns that seem to appear with those who are struggling to keep the outward appearances going. So yes, as much as we look at the actions that people take, and it helps us to recognize the source where those actions come from, it's a bit like somebody gluing wool to a goat, as opposed to someone where the wool is growing because they're a sheep. It's noticing that there is a different DNA that has been established in a person's life through their encounter with Christ. A person who's devoted their life to Christ, who's allowing the Holy Spirit to transform them from the inside out. You know, during this last lockdown, one of the things you've probably noticed is a little bit of an increase in public exposure for our church and for what we do. And as the pastor, you know, I had a few phone calls from people wanting to talk to me about why we're doing what we're doing, how we're doing it, those kinds of things. And one of the things that I recognized when that was happening was that it would be very easy to kind of feel like we're going to have all these positive responses to what we're doing. Have a lot of people going, oh yes, that's great. And when we had more volunteers who wanted to volunteer with us, I was really excited. I thought, great, we're going to draw in more people to begin helping us with the work that we are doing. But one of the things that I noticed very early on was that you could see for some people, this was not an exercise that was inevitable because of their DNA, but there was a kind of thought process of, oh, this is something that I should do, or even worse, I have a much better idea about how we should help these people. And so it was interesting for me to see. I got some very positive feedback from some people. I got very positive encouragement from some people. I got very positive excitement about what was happening and what to do. But I also received quite a few, well, not quite a few, just a couple, of quite forceful challenges from people who were upset with what we were doing, upset with the way we were doing it, upset with why we were doing it. I had a number of challenges around our stance on COVID vaccinations. I had people wanting to make appointments with me so that we could discuss the problems with vaccination and the problems with Christians and the problems with how we're responding to this and issues about our rights and our freedoms and all sorts of things. But for me, I found that a lot of the seemingly complicated decisions and worrying decisions people have to make are very, very simple. For me, it seems natural to respond in a certain way. Why do you think that is? Well, for me, I think it's because there's a different DNA that I'm relying on to make those decisions. And that DNA comes through my transformation and making Christ my Savior. Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is really the only kind of love we should be producing as a Christian. It's the only kind of love that comes from the DNA that held Jesus to the cross, that identifies us as Christians, that sacrificial love that comes from our lives being submitted to Christ. I watch some of us, and I know I've been in this position, struggling, trying hard to make sacrificially loving acts real. But we can't do that on our own. We need Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God involved in transforming us. But we can also take heart from that. We can also take heart from the fact that it's not just what we do and what we've done or haven't done, but actually that because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have this new DNA. We're a new creature. And inevitably, the end point of our journey, because of that, is to a place where sacrificial love becomes commonplace in our own lives. And that while we might feel this kind of sense that we're currently loveless hypocrites, we can be rest assured that our Savior will complete the work that He started, that the Holy Spirit will continue to draw out of us the nature of Christ, and we can rest knowing that He will fulfill all that He has begun in our lives. You know, I just want to take a moment and pray for you and pray for us as a church. And my prayer today hopefully will encourage you. And I look forward to catching up with more of you again soon and seeing the amazing things that God is doing in each of our lives. Father, again, Lord, I thank you for this congregation of people that you have given me to help shepherd. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to make me capable of doing that. Lord, that you would give me the capacity and the capability to pastor this congregation. And Lord, I pray for each individual that has listened to this message today. Lord, if they're a part of our congregation or even just connected to it loosely, Lord, Father, I pray that this word will bring joy and life into their lives. Lord, I pray that at the moment, as people are uncertain and unsure about the future in New Zealand, Lord, and here in Hawke's Bay, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen their heart. Lord, that you would become more visible to them. Lord, that those things that are seeking to discourage them and fill them with fear would grow dim in the light of your glory. Lord, I pray that we would look to you as the perfecter and the finisher. Lord, that you would encourage each of us with the promises in your word. Father, I pray that we would move with a purpose, that we would respond with sacrificial love to the community around us. Lord, not thinking so much of ourselves and what might happen to us, but Father, being compelled by your love to make a difference in our community, to show sacrificial love, not in a hypocritical way, but because it's in our DNA. Lord, I pray, bless our listeners today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.